Jesus has called us to follow him, to be his followers, to be his disciples. He shed his own precious blood to buy us and to give us a life that we could not have lived in any other way. Regardless of our backgrounds, of opportunities we had and those we have not had, but Jesus is something special for those he is calling to himself. And he is calling us to know him and to reflect his character here on earth in love. As we love not with our own strength, our love fails, but the love of Christ flows and is boundless and permeates all contexts, all societies, all circumstances. So Jesus has done this, and he has called us not only for this world to live, but also he has a future for us where we will stand before his throne and worship him once and for all, that we will be transformed fully, and as there will be no weeping, there will be no sicknesses, there will be no pains, there will be no wars. And even one of my friends back in Egypt said one day there will no be traffic. They will. So this is a serious life that we have been called into. It's a wonderful life. It's a privileged position to be in, because no one could force himself to be a believer. You see, you have been just shown grace. Your heart has been opened wide by the Lord, and to know the fact that you have been created for noble purposes, and that you are so dignified from the very beginning, and it's only sin that humiliates, isn't it? Even in our day to day, those who are living under sins, those people are living really a life that is not meant to live, to be lived that way. But sin has its effects. But having done this, met all this along this long introduction, so even this type of walk that we are walking here, as Jesus calls us to follow him, there will be, of course, some challenges as we journey that may hinder us enjoying this life Jesus has given us, and also even like really can hinder also the praises that Jesus will give us as faithful servants. And so one of these things is when you find yourself in really unpleasant circumstances, when you find yourself under unjust circumstances, that is what this verse says in 1 Peter, "For it is commendable if a man bears," this is verse 19, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. "If a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering," so if you find yourself under unjust suffering, so what do you do as a Christian? What do you do as a Christian when you find yourself under this situation? What do you do? Well, Apostle Peter gives us really the way out, the way to overcome, the way to press on, the way to even shine more, the way even to grow more as a Christian, the way to be even more stronger, the way even to please God, the way that cannot be marred by actions to get rid of this injustice or injustice. So here he calls these people, and these people in verse 18 are Christians. He was writing to Christians. You need to remember this in 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 1, to God elects, these are Christian strangers, verse 1, chapter 1, 1 Peter, in the world scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. These were Christians who were persecuted and pushed out of Jerusalem. So this word translated here is slaves. It's only in the NIV, but a lot of translations really made a different translation. That is servants. So I've listed some of them. ESV and ASB, even modern English versions. And so, because this word in the Greek is not slaves, as we know, but servants. But even if it is slaves, because we can understand it only in the light of the life of these Christians who have been forced and are living in those places, scattered, persecuted, from different backgrounds, mainly Jewish Christians, and then also Jewish Gentiles who became Christians. Because at the day of Pentecost, many people came to Jesus. So these people, they can easily come under masters. They are living among the people into whom they were forced to live among. And this is not the first time for God people to have this practice, like to hire yourself out, just even to live or to work. So you come under a master. And also we need to understand, in those days also there were wars and some people were taken captives. And so you can find yourself really for different reasons coming under someone who will be in charge of your whole life, who can decide your life, actually. And that can have really terrible ramification. Of course, modern slavery is ruled out, because that was evil, of course. And today, the 15th and 16th century, slavery has become the darkest marks in the face of the Western civilization. And people hoped that that didn't happen completely. But it did happen. And that slavery actually put a lot of black people off of God. Because if this God that they read of in this Bible, if this word is translated as slaves, would want me to submit to this cruel master who is enslaving me just simply because of my color of skin and my underprivileged conditions. And so this God cannot be my God. I cannot worship him. And you have all this slogan that is a white man God today. But we know those who have been born of God, that is not a white man God. It's not a white man God. In fact, the white man needs this very God. He is the one now is really far away from this God, as modern statistics show that the gravity of Christianity is shifting from the cities of the very place birth of Reformation. They are turning now into centers of homosexuals and bars and all sorts of things. Go to London, go to the place of Reformation. Go to Geneva, all these places. So you can find yourself under a cruel master. But you as a Christian, you are called upon to have a different attitude. You are called. So what do you do when you find yourself suffering under this unjust authority? Well, just, I don't want to leave you in suspense. Just let me get straight into the point. You see, endure. Endure patiently. Endure. Endure, this is what this word says. Submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up. If a man bears up, is a man endures, is commendable. And so who can endure? Who can endure this unjust? And my answer is, such an attitude can only be shown by someone who has been saved, who has a view of his God, who acknowledges that his God isn't on the throne, and that he belongs to another master. And that is what the text will say to us. Why should we endure? Why should we endure? Because God watches over all these activities of mankind. And also he is sovereign, and he knew that his people are being pushed out. And he is traveling with them. Jesus said, I will be with you. So wherever you go, Jesus is with you as a good shepherd. And that brings really consolations and comfort to your heart, even fire on your heart to live under whatever circumstances you find yourself under. Because there will be a solution. Because one of the things when I was reflecting on this over many weeks, a person who is on a mission, it will be easy for them to endure anything. Because these Christians were on a journey to proglaim the Master, the risen Savior. They were going to be the light of the world, and they knew that if they act in any way that will jeopardize their ministry and their witness, they cannot turn the world upside down. You see, if you are truly called by God and filled with the Holy Spirit, is strengthened like Joshua, said to be strong and courageous because you will take the people to the promised land. Well, we are all Joshuas in the New Testament, isn't it? We are all called to live as Christians, to glorify Christ and to make him known and to do all our actions just with the one purpose, one single, that Christ might be known through us. And that is why we put all our resources, mentally, intellectually, spiritually, just under that very purpose. And that is what Peter is trying to encourage his readers to have this view. Be mindful. If someone bears up under all pains, all these things, because he is conscious of God. God is present in his thinking and his life, knowing that God exists. God allows this. And in fact, I've been placed here to pray for this person. And that is why they were called not to sin. Not to sin. But how is it to your credit, if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? No credit. You know this, what Optus says always? The Optus advise that you don't have enough credit to make a call. You see? The Optus will say that. You see, well, the Lord is saying that there will be no credit for you. So even your work will not be effective. Your witness will not be effective. In fact, you will not be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, you will not be rejoicing. In fact, your peace and rest will go. Well, one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament is 2 Kings chapter 5. This great master, this man, by name of, Simeon, Saman, Suriani, or Naaman. You call him Saman Suriani. Oh, no, Man Suriani. Naaman of Assyrian. This man, he was a great man. He was a captain in the army of his master, of Aram kings. So this man, they waged war and they went to Jerusalem. They took captives, a lot of Israelites. They became his slaves. So they became his slaves. So it's not something really new, because the cruel masters, these people, they were really sinners. They were not they were not Christian. They were not believers. And so in the course of their war, they took a lot of Israelites to their country. Among them was a slave girl. This slave girl, she was serving her mistress, or I would call the wife of this general man, general in the army. So this girl, she was not put off by the fact that she was living under that circumstances where she was a slave girl. She was a slave, this girl. She was taken away from her family. Obviously, she is not living with her family. She was just like taken into the home of this captain of the army, Naaman of Assyrian, from Aram. This man, though he was a great man, and his head was really lifted up before his master, but the Bible says he was leprous. He was a leper. He got this disease. You can read that in chapter 2. So this girl in that house, when she saw the fact that this great man of the army, a warrior, is sick, and really this is a bad sickness, and the doctor can tell us, and then this girl really took an opportunity to witness to her God. And she said this, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." You see, she was witnessing. And as a result, if you follow the history very well, her word was taken seriously because she trusted her God. That even though she was in that condition, so she was able also to witness. And this man was going to experience a healing. That the part which says that even his body, his skin was healed and became like of a child, like with all the freshness and short life. I mean, like they are, you know, the cells, they grow old and they die, isn't it? But they were just at their best form. And so because of this little girl, this man experienced healing because he took that seriously and he set off to see this man of God, Elisha. And you know, this man, he performed this thing with irony. I hope when you go home today, just read it. This prophet, even he was mocking this great man, just to give credit to this little girl. You see? So this we are called upon to endure when we find ourselves under this any unjust situation, not to act in a sinful way, because we are mindful of our God and nothing can escape his sight. And in fact, if there is any blessings that we are to receive, is because we want to honor him. And this attitude can only come from a person who has a good conscience towards God. And if not, if that is not your attitude, and then you are in trouble. Because there will be no credit to make a call. There will be no credit. You see, even if you are beaten, because the thing here, there are hard things. And if you endure hard things, not for a good reason, you can't endure. You will really react. You will push back. You will really push back. But you need to remember also that Jesus said, things that will cause people to sin, they are really destined to happen, even in the church. Some people also will try to make it harder for people so that they sin. And Jesus said, such a person like this, you see, will face a terrible judgment. Even Jesus says that to tie a heavy stone on the neck of a person and to be thrown into a water, even that will be better than the judgment that that person receives. Worse than that. That is what the text says, actually. And many times we translate it wrong. That they should be a stone put around their necks and be thrown into water. In fact, Jesus is saying worse than that. You see? But in our own understanding, there's nothing that could be harder and harsher than that. So you think that the masters here that are harsh, well, the great master will be even more harsher when people behave in this way. Well, now we have sinned. We are to endure because there is God. And now, as I said, he's not going to leave us in suspense. He's going to tell us why we should endure. Why? Why we have to do this? Why we should not sin? Why we should not fail to trust God and his sovereign rule over all the circumstances and the affairs of this world? Why we should not fail? Because Jesus himself didn't fail to do that. And he is our example and he is our Lord. If he could come low to that and to the point of being a slave, you can translate it into a slave if that is what really brings you pleasure and joy. Do it like that. Also, we will raise that translation and apply it to our Lord Jesus himself. Hallelujah. How about that? How about that? Jesus Christ, who has all the power, not only to push back against those who were treating him unjustly, but to crush them and just destroy them and to open the ground and just put them there. But he didn't do that because he was on a mission. And that is what he is calling us also, to subject ourselves to all kinds of situations so that we will not fail as Jesus didn't fail himself. Because there is God who is sovereign, who has a mission, who is vindicating his name for sending Jesus. Actually, Jesus, when he came into the world, yes, God said he loved the world. Yeah, but he's vindicated also, vindicating his character. Because he is God, he has created us after his own image. He was not creating just like insects and things like that. Glorified, dignified human beings that would reflect his character. That was what God was fighting for. So we are his. We don't belong to anyone else. And that is why Jesus came to redeem. The redemption means buying us back to God, to our God, to the true humanity, to who we are, to who we were created in the first place. That is a noble position. That is what it means to be a Christian, to be brought back into your own the real estate, isn't it? To know God, to walk with him, to regain your image. So our image has been marred. In sin, the image you have is not yours, it's devil. It's Satan. Because Satan sins, isn't it? He kills and robs and destroys. And so that is what his followers are doing. He lies. He's the father of all lies. And those who are doing these things, they are doing the will of their father, devil. Here we are told, because Jesus Christ himself didn't fail, he came to restore the lost sheep of Israel back. And that is why he set his face like a flint. He went to Jerusalem because he knew on that cross, all will finish. The image will be restored fully. Our hearts will be transformed from heart of stone into heart of flesh to love God. And to endure and to be and to know his presence. I always say to people, the only way you can experience an outside power going through your body, maybe through injections and things like that. But how about experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit without being injected with anything? Have you ever experienced that? The presence of the power of the Holy Spirit from top to toe? Have you ever felt that? Have you ever known the power of God in restoring people from death to life in terms of salvation through words, simple words of a believer? I will not go for evangelism if I don't believe that the gospel has power to transform lives and really people can cross from life to death. And that is what God is calling us to do as Christians, to retain this strength and power and vision so that we are not distracted by what is happening in the world. We cannot control the world, isn't it? But we have a God who controls the world. And in the process of our life in this world, he will be with us we will know his comfort. We will know his voice, Jim shared with us earlier. So God will speak to us. And we will always be agitated when someone would want to tell us that we go other way. Yeah, it's right to be agitated, but you need also to endure and to bring that agitation under God and say, what shall I do here in this prison? So the Bible says, to this you were called. You were called to be on a journey like Jesus. You were called because Christ suffered for you. He suffered for us. And so maybe we need to suffer for others. Maybe we need to do that. And that is what really the readers of this text in the first place were really enlightened of. They were saying, look, suffer for a purpose. If you fail to retain the mission, no one will be saved. The gospel will not go beyond the boundaries of Pontus and Galatia and all this into the end of the world. Hallelujah. What a mandate, what a great mission. You and I are called to journey so that we don't look to the fact that whether I am the slave or I am the master. The purpose is beyond all these things. These are human made, masters and slaves. But the right, we are all called to be servants of God. And so to this, we are called, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. It's not just you might follow, but you should, if you call yourself a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ, you should. You have no any excuse. You should follow the example of your master if you are ever going to know him and to grow into his likeness. And to be an instrument in his hand, you need to follow him. You need to follow in his own example. And the rest of the text explains to us what he did. Exactly. So when these things happen to you, you rely on what Jesus went through for you and I. He was going through all these things unjustly. He hasn't seen any sin. The sinless Lamb of God. He didn't sin. He didn't pull his hair. Why this is happening to me? He didn't do that. If he did that, you and I, we will not be here rejoicing in the path of righteousness. In this faith that we have, in this life we live, that the writer of the song says, this life I live is not my own. We are blood-bought believers. We are to think of him. He didn't commit anything. He committed no sin. You see? Not by words, not by anything. And we have seen how he endured all these things. Through God's grace and power and wisdom, answering his accusers, really silencing them all the time. And even with that, not failing even to do good to them. So the Bible, so this is what I'm doing now. I'm just referring you to what Jesus went through. He committed no sins, and you know that. Your Redeemer, your Savior is sinless. That is why he was able to save you, because it's only a sinless Lamb can save us. And now, and no deceit was found in his mouth. See? And we are called not also to have anything like that. We speak to people with our mouth, but our hearts are just harboring something different. No! No! Our words should reflect what is in our heart. Our hearts should be changed and filled with the love of Christ, and our hearts are strengthened to follow God and to suffer. Doesn't matter. And if there isn't a separation, God will do it. So they hurled their insults at him, even the thief on the cross. Whoa, save yourself if you are a son of God. Hey, you see?
or maybe he has a demons and things like that. They said all these things. Have they anyone ever said something like this to you? I don't remember. Can I grab my bottle? Really, drinking waters in Egypt were very bad. And so when God blessed me enough to just have to afford water, clean, so I had a bottle, a longer one. And a friend of mine gave me like a cooler that is so I can put that. And so summer, I would just keep it the whole night in the fridge. And then during the day, I put it there on my shoulder and also because my back. And the only book I have in that bag, a Bible, and just go on the streets and in buses and things like that. And sometimes there are distances that I walk and people would see me like that. They were mocking me. They said there must be something gone wrong with this guy. You see, why he has changed so much like that? When he was just like trying to behave like a master, saying that, thinking that he's intellectual, highly educated, very rich, cool, wearing nice clothes and things like that. Just something happened. Something happened. Transformation has taken place. So people mock you, they say anything like that. You don't have, obviously, don't have a girlfriend. You don't have anything else to think about but to make Jesus known and to come under the power of the Holy Spirit day and night and try to cry with those who are crying and laugh with those who are laughing. That is the revelation of Christ. And all of us today, this text is encouraging us to follow Jesus, not any man. He did not retaliate. He didn't make any threats. You do that to me, I will do this. Do you know, like the Egyptians, they do that a lot. And I don't know here in Australia. If someone really brought someone to defend them, they say, I will bring even more. You see? I say, oh, you know someone with authority? Oh, no, I bring a higher authority. You see, they do that. How about if Jesus said, okay, you think that you have army? Well, I call the army from heaven. You see? And he can't do that. I can't shut the heaven and no rain. You see? Turn the whole world into darkness. You think you are masters. I can do even worse than what you think. But he didn't do that. But he set a time when it will be really terrible. Those who are not Christians, who are not loving Christ and not living according to his word, there is a day where you will meet him and give an account. Really, and you've lost all the opportunities to think that I can live my life. It's not your life. It will be demanded of you. You need to surrender your life to Jesus and believe in him and follow him and stay away from sin. And you will be able to endure hard things, because anyway, we are all enduring hard things. Even as Christians at workplaces, we are discriminated against and people want to bring us down. And I got a friend who is a medical doctor. Some people, my brother here, another brother also, and also his brother, said, oh, we want to make sure that you lose your license. They told him, as a Christian, because all that he wants to do, he wants to honor his master. Instead, Jesus entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Justly. God judges justly. When human fails, God never fails to judge justly. And Jesus himself, he bore our sins. And that is Isaiah 65, verse 4. Jesus Christ himself, he bore our sins. That was a prophecy 700 years that the servant of God will come. And this is what he will do. Surely he took up our infirmities on his body and he carried them to the cross. That is what Jesus did. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. So that we overcome, so that we are rid of sin, so that we will be able to avoid sins. Jesus did this. Even though those who were treating him so badly, they thought that he was stricken by God, was rejected. Sometimes you feel like that, isn't it? Under unjust circumstances. Maybe God has abandoned you. Maybe God is not watching. You see? Well, exactly. Other people, that was their assessment of Jesus when he was on the cross. They thought he was being abandoned by God. And then actually, in their philosophies, only criminals suffer those ways. Maybe he has committed sin. You see? And people may think also, when you find yourself in difficult circumstances, they may think that you have sinned. The food is getting cold, isn't it? Got five more minutes. Well, here the prophecy is that Jesus himself, he did this for you and I. That is what they call purpose clause, so that, in order that we might die. If we believe and trust him, we sins will be eliminated, even though we may sin. But the Bible says we will be able to confess our sins. That is verse, this verse reflects this text. And by his wounds you have been healed. You know that great prayer? Like, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and confess their sins, I will heal them or answer them, and then I will heal their land. So the healing of God includes a lot of things. If God can heal the land, you see, can heal sins, can heal diseases. That is why we take this by his wounds, the wounds of Christ. We are healed. Mentally, you can be healed. You hear a lot about mental health, huh, in our days. But believers should believe that Jesus heals even our mental. There's nothing that he cannot heal. The work of Christ is sufficient to bring transformation, to bring new life to us. That is why we need to be filled all the time with the Holy Spirit. And verse 5 and 6, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was brought low. He was just like humiliated, like a slave would be humiliated, or a servant, a bond servant, who's humiliated by a cruel master. For you were like sheep going astray. That is what Jesus said in Matthew 15:24. He was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. He was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. And now Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, he came to call the sheep. That is why he would leave 99 sheep who do not need repentance and go after that one lost sheep. He's a good shepherd. And now to bring us to himself, the overseer of our souls. You see, he redeems us. He brings us to himself, and he became our great shepherd, the chief of the shepherds, watching over our souls, even when you find yourself under difficult circumstances. That is the call. So why Apostle Peter would ask us to submit to a situation like this, and not to retaliate, and to show great respect, and to keep our cool, and to still be generous and gracious and filled with the Holy Spirit and with the view that God cares. It's a great life to live as a Christian. And the Bible should be your only book that you turn to when to find what the Bible says about this situation. Hallelujah. Are you going to do that? And the time really is right now. Don't waste your time if you have not made commitment to follow Jesus thoroughly. A lot of evangelists will say this. This might be your only chance to hear the word of God. The world is in turmoil. We may get into war, floods, fire, everything. I'm not scaring you, but everything is possible. We are not unique. God is judging other nations. And do you think we don't have to, we can escape God's judgment? When God judges, even the righteous also will suffer with the thing, because this is our mission field, isn't it? So that is why you need to have something. When things happen, you will be able to endure, isn't it? So these people were called to submit because they have the Spirit, they have the Scriptures, isn't it? They have the comfort, the counselor, you see? But if you don't have a counselor, how are you going to live? Sexual immoralities arrive there, you see? Discriminations, not only on the basis of race, but even on the basis of other things. Your confession as a Christian. Or even being kind and being gracious and being generous. You can be hated too for that. Just be like us. Well, you receive that from the Lord. It's up to you. I want to waste this life in serving others? Yes. Because of what? I'm conscious of God. And actually, it's the one who gives us the will in the first place. There's nothing that we can do as Christian, truly Christian, without his power and him leading us to that. So Jesus Christ, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. We were supposed to be punished ourselves. But we escaped this today. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So before God, you are right. Okay? The peace with God and peace of God in us, Jesus, all these things he has promised us, and we can experience these things. Hallelujah. Are you experiencing these things? Are you experiencing the peace of God in your troubles? Do you trust him in your wants and your needs? Do you trust him that he cares? Because even your need might be to you like a slavery. See? Well, the Lord cares for you. And in fact, I'm going to invite you to keep praying. You say, ask, seek, knock. Delight yourself in these things and speak to your Savior and your Lord, the overseer of your souls. Your soul has someone is watching over it. Your soul is precious to him. Well, you see why the call to endurance is made. Because who is your master? That is the title I gave you. Who is the master? Who is your master? Is Jesus? Follow his example. He was mindful of his Father, and you are to be mindful also of God, your Father in heaven, and Jesus Christ, following in his own example. And you will have the floodgates of heaven being opened upon you, and you will be washed day and night by his presence and the comfort of the Holy Spirit and the joy of his word, as we read this morning from the memory verse. I have hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, verse 11. You should all know this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, the Bible says. The cruel masters who are not considerate will face a great judgment. But you delight yourself in the Lord and submit yourself to whatever situation that is beyond you, because this situation is beyond you. It's beyond those people. They didn't choose to be under those circumstances. No human being in his right mind would want to subject themselves to that. And that is why God even provided this and allows this. And he knows that there will be a day, because he said a day. He wants to judge the world, not himself. He wants to judge the world by his Son, to give him all the glory. He didn't die in vain. He will come and judge. And that is why even in the Old Testament, the saints of the Old Testament were looking to him. And even all the things also God started, it was even to stop not judging. He judged at some stages, but there were other times he said, I will, my Son will come. And if you continue rejecting, you will face a big thing. That is why he gave them a day, a year of Jubilee redemption. And also to have your fellow, a closer kin, to come and redeem you. So God delights. He doesn't delight in us being under bad circumstances. He provided a way out. But when he is still not allowing you to be free from those circumstances, submit yourself to those things. And eventually things will change. The cruel master may change his mind and be transformed, like Naaman of Assyria, you see, who listened to a slave girl. You see? Or like this great master who set free a slave.
in America. You know that story. I brought it to you many, many times. John Jasper, who was working, a slave man in his 40s. He was working in a tobacco company. And then as he was singing and thinking of a verse in the scriptures, he got converted. Just like that, instantly, God touched his heart and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he started dancing. You know, African-American. He started dancing. And he stopped working. And then the news was brought to his master. And they said, oh, he is claiming that he has been saved and redeemed. And he got converted. And then he was called in before his master. And he was said, "Is what I'm hearing is true." And he said, "Yes, the Lord has done it. The Lord has done it." And then he said, "Okay, if the Lord has set you free, who can hold you as a slave? Go and you see and speak for your master." And he was set free. Even human masters, they recognize that there is a great master. When he sets free, no one can hold you down. And so that is why it's worth really submitting. You never know. God may just bring you out with a testimony, with dancing from your circumstances that you think are so bad. You will be rejoicing. But you need to acknowledge your master. Who is your master? Is Jesus your master? Follow him. Do you follow him? Do you really follow him? Do you really love him? Do you rejoice over what he has made you? Beautiful. You know, I know. Ladies, they go to, like, I know this for my wife. They just made themselves look so beautiful. See, it's just like they beautify themselves. Well, all of us in Christ, we are made so beautiful. That is what he has made us. Who is your master? Is Jesus? If not, please surrender your life to him. Rejoice in him. Let me pray. And as I pray, you say, if you know for yourself for sure that you cannot submit to circumstances like this, confess this to the Lord. And this might be a sign that you have not come to know Jesus personally and know his saving grace. And if you have come to that, thank him and ask for his strength to endure under unjust circumstances also. And knowing that, being conscious of him, that there will come a time, there might come a time where he may set you free from that with a rejoicing and with blessings, with a handful of blessings.